that the grand jury process regarding the New York petition that was filed last year in April of 2018, it is a secret process, completely secret. So we don't even know, frankly, if the grand jury has been convened. We have to probably assume that it is because it's been a number of months, getting on 5 months since the letter from the U.S. attorney letting us know that it would be convened and that they were going to comply with the law that requires them to convene it on the World Trade Center evidence only. The difference with what we just did a week ago in Washington, D.C., is that this is a public process. If we can get past an expected motion to dismiss by the defendants, who are the FBI director and the attorney general now, William Barr, that process, unless it's sealed by the court, which we do not expect, it will be public. And if the case goes forward, we should all be able to be in the gallery in the courthouse. And there should be able to be public media and press coverage of it. So that's a major difference. The second point I wanted to make is because we have in the DC filing, the complaint filed a week ago, we have gone beyond the World Trade Center evidence to the other six counts together with the World Trade Center count, which is count one. It links all of the major attack sites of 9/11. So we are going way beyond just the World Trade Center.
We're proud of you there.
Yeah, I remember I was going through all of the different organizations, whether it's humanitarian organizations, free speech organizations, you know, protecting journalists, that type of thing. A number of their statements were particularly mealy-mouthed, as you say. I think one was basically we're troubled by the situation. And I think it's a lot more than troubling.
I'll tell you, someone who wasn't mealy-mouthed was Senator Manchin from West Virginia. He's our property now. I put up an article on our page, and as a picture, I used him with a shotgun because that really is what it sounded like. I mean, especially a senator from a former slave state to say that.
Yeah. to the Pentagon site, to the Shanksville site. Those are the three sites. So that's another major difference. So now to answer your question, why do I believe Congress mandated the 9/11 Review Commission in the first place, almost 10 years after the 9/11 Commission report was published? Why do I believe they did that? Well, probably between you and me, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the Lawyers Committee now. I'm answering your question as a very informed private citizen. I believe that Congress did that because a number of members of Congress, in addition to, of course, the then FBI director before, during, and after, for many years after 9/11, Robert Mueller himself, who's still the special prosecutor, and also, of course, the then Attorney General Ashcroft, and also many high-ranking members of Congress know the truth about 9/11, and I believe it was basically a cover-your-you-know-what operation by Congress. But regardless of the real reason, Congress, of course, explicitly on the public surface has stated that they wanted to know if there was any information that the ongoing FBI investigation, which is ongoing to this day, Bonnie, it has never ended, and it's called PENTBOM, which I think is important for people to realize. The acronym or abbreviation by the FBI itself for the entire 9/11 investigation, which has never ended to this moment, the 9/11 FBI investigation is still ongoing. Its codename is PENTBOM, and that stands for Pentagon, Twin Towers, Bomb, or Bombing. It's very important. The code name for the entire investigation, PENTBOM. Okay, so Congress obviously wanted for the public to believe and know that its only reason was because it wanted to know if the FBI had uncovered anything that it didn't already know at the time of the publication in the summer of 2004 of the 9/11 Commission report. And it's very clear when you read our complaint, and you can read the complaint two places on the web. You can go to the Lawyers Committee website, which is lcfor911.org. That's lcfor911.org. And also to the Architects and Engineers, to Richard Gage's website, which is ae911truth.org, where you can read the complaint, where you can read the press release, and also where you can watch the video of our press conference. And I should say that we welcome support to both of our websites.
Point, since I already told him I wasn't a professional piano player, I realized I should shut up and say thank you, and I did, and we made the After the Gold Rush album. Anyway, Southern Man, when we worked it up, they would take lunch breaks. We did it at Neil Young's house in Topanga, and there was a patio above the studio, out open air. They'd have lunch, and I never ate because I was so worried about cutting the gig. I'd stay back and practice piano. So I was always practicing on this upright, we call the Gold Rush upright. And this particular day, Ralphie Molina, the drummer, stayed behind, and he was jamming with me. And we were working on Southern Man, which was a halftime beat. It was like boom, boom, whack, it just all happened. Whack. And so we do that for about a half an hour, then I thought, well, Let me change it up. And remember, I came from the accordion waltz polka thing, so the, you know, roll out the barrel. That mpa, mpa. So that was so ingrained in me that what I did was get rid of the chord. I just started doing the octave. And Ralphie started double timing the backbeat, so we had a faster beat, and we go. So when they came back from lunch, we were in this roaring groove with that feel, and Ralphie was double timing the song, and Neil and David said, what the hell's that? And So, well, that's Southern Man with a polka bee. And they laughed and said, man, that feels great. Let's try when we get to the guitar solo, completely shifting gears into that feel, break it back down to halftime for the last verse, and then as soon as the verse is over, kick back into the double time, and Neil will solo out. So next time you hear it, you'll notice out of the blue, boom, the solo just kicks into that groove, back down into the verse, and just back to the end, Neil plays this hellacious solo on Old Black.
Any support
so it was kind of
that, your listeners can give us. So thank you, Bonnie.
Back then in the
I'm speaking with lawyers and researchers David Meiswinkle, Mick Harrison, Barbara Honecker, and Richard Gage. Today's show, FBI sued for failure to report 9/11 evidence to Congress. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. Richard Gage, what evidence has Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth submitted to the government and the FBI as evidence of what happened on September 11, 2001 that was not reported to the 9/11 Commission as mandated by Congress? What did that evidence include?
Well, the FBI can't slide out of this one, Bonnie. They are on record as having assessed our presentation, the one that I have given 600 times around the world now. And they said, they wrote back after having received our DVD by Harold Save in Florida. They wrote back and said, Mr. Gage's theory is interesting and backed by thorough research and analysis. So they already assessed it. So they didn't tell Congress about that, though. So this is great news. We also have a very active person, a supporter in Washington, Jeff Risch, who brought to Senator or Congressman McDermott in Washington the nanothermite report, which is the result of a team of eight scientists led by Niels Herit and Stephen Jones. And they found in all of their independently collected samples throughout the World Trade Center these red-gray chips, up to 10 tons of this material throughout the center by extrapolation, which is composed of nanoparticles of iron oxide and aluminum powder. Well, what are those? That's the ingredients of thermite. And this is called nanothermite, which was developed prior to 9/11. It should not be found in all the World Trade Center dust. And when this team ignited this material, they found that it creates iron microspheres, molten iron microspheres, indicating it's an energetic substance, which is basically thermite. Thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through.
This is Dennis Braxton here. Let me ask the gentleman, as a construction worker, were you shocked to see how easily the buildings seem to go down? Or was this a surprise to you?
As a construction worker, sir, I'd like to tell you that it wasn't easy for the building to come down. They didn't come down easily. That's number one. I believe that there was a series of explosions. I believe that not only did the aircraft come from the top, I believe there's some base explosions at the bottom. When we put something up, it's up. New York is one of the finest construction armies in the world. Our people are craftsmen, we're tradesmen, we know what we're doing. We put a building up, it's up. But for somebody to take it down, that's one of the reasons why I came across. This is my city and I build it. Anything happens to one of my buildings in this city, I want to know about it. I want to go find out what's going on. I want to volunteer my services to help any way I can.
You said you work in the federal building in Brooklyn. Who do you work for?
I work for a local 638. I'm a speed for this. We are currently doing a project in Brooklyn. It's a post office. It is several federal buildings in Brooklyn. We are doing a renovation job there. But it's a federal building. Being as such, as soon as we were aware that there were, as soon as the word went out that it was a possible terrorist attack, that this wasn't, and we knew after the second aircraft, we knew that it wasn't an accident because we know, you know, it's restricted airspace.
the sugar moving down the line. I come apart, babe, but that's okay, 'cause trouble man don't get in my way. I come apart, babe. I've been for real, babe. Gonna keep moving. Let it sweat me, babe.
Say that the three things that aren't being covered, so it's content-free coverage. So yeah. So they're talking about this Mueller saying the nothing burger. Yeah, but what was the dirt on Hillary that they're dancing all around? It was the death squads in Syria, the 2011 Arab Sting. The NATO Operation Southern Mistral, that was fall of 2010. So this is NATO operation, you know, bayoneting Gaddafi in Libya and going against arming mercenaries dressed up as Muslims in Syria. You forgot to say you're my stunt double in Libya, DJ Mouse. Anyway. We'll be right back. Okay, back to our Paranoid Paranoid by Black Sabbath, of course. Paranoid Conspiracy Theorist, DJ Mouse, of course. That is the dirt on Hillary. So whenever they're talking about this Mueller investigation, they're never talking about the content of the emails that they're dancing all around. Okay, that's one of those three things. And the other is the hack, okay, which is impossible. The 500 that the veteran intelligence professionals for sanity examined, they all had even numbers on the metadata, which means that it was rounded off for the thumb drive, okay? It was not sent over the internet, in which case it would be even odd, equally distributed. The odds would be 2 to the 500th power of them winding up like that. So obviously it was not a hack. So that was one. And then they were saying, oh, Russian interference, but they're not talking about the black box slaver aping electoral college business. Now, you have a gun, that's the Second Amendment, that means the security of a free state, which means a slave-holding state.
Masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
When they say free state, you got to think about 1776. these are all slave-holding states. So your free state means that you're saying, you know, the Second Amendment says forget everything we just said, do what we tell you or you're dead, okay? And the pretense that you can have a vote, that anybody, that a voter has any power when you have the cloaked dagger, you know, well, if, I can't even talk about the idiocy, you know, the face of cloak and dagger would have a bullet between the eyes if there was such a thing as voting on this planet, okay? You cannot allow a person to say, oh, I'm going around with a cloaked dagger, you know, and if you're picking up a gun and you're not aiming at that guy, then you don't have any business pretending to vote, you know, because they're going to kill the person that you choose, you know, to, you know, you're like... But I'm not saying that because I'm a vegetarian, you know, people are animals too. You know, and as the founding member of Bolshevik Phenomenos, we realize only by appealing to power higher than ourselves can we overcome our disability and be happy hippies, and happy hippies don't kill people. And very central to this is the anti-war aspect of that video, the Manning Media My Line murder movie. Turning ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah. Like a little alliteration a little bit. So if when I see that associated with the flag, okay, it triggers my homicidal impulse. Let me just put it that way. You know, it's like, because they're laughing as they're shooting up children. You're killing rescuers, okay? You're killing a guy with camera, okay? That's me every which way it is. And, you know, like, quite purely, you know, honestly, rather be dead than be on the side of the American flag, given its relation to Chelsea Manning at this moment. The person that, you know, released that, you know, she didn't care if she gave up her life. That's what she was confessing, you know, when she did it, to defend those innocents, you know, who just happen to be sitting near the oil that we're, you know, our masters are going after. And the Democratic Party is butthurt over Russia helping Lincoln steal their property, quote unquote, in the Civil War, is the same party. Now, the Republicans at one point were the abolitionists, but then they beheaded Lincoln and they walked around with his head on a post, and those are the Republicans that we get today. Never mind. He's I'm a little more generous. I must say, when we kill the ones we catch, the gang gets away. Okay, on a logistical level, that's a reason for, you know, thou shalt take the life of no living thing, or thou shalt not kill people, at the very minimum. And if we beat them at their own game, they got us playing their game on the inner, you know, individual level.
But there, that we will hopefully find out. But I don't have any question in the conclusions of the intelligence.
You have every confidence, but no evidence. Is that right?
No, I can't share the evidence with you.
Yeah,
Congressman.
I'm Paul
that's
Joy,
bogus.
I'm former
that's bogus.
Director of Security Center Intelligence Committee. We always refer to it as the SSCI, the intelligence.
So he has every confidence. But no evidence, yeah. It's so nice to know that these politicians have 100% confidence in the intelligence community. I mean, I feel so safe.
Well, that means they're hallucinating. Dream they had covering up their crimes and blaming WikiLeaks. First, the US and UK came for Iraq because Saddam did 9/11. He's the most dangerous person in the world.
Murder lives forever, and so does war. It's survival of the fittest.
I mean, WMDs.
At the end of the day, it's a human trait hidden deep down inside of our DNA. One man can build a bomb, another run a race to save somebody's life and have it blow up in his face. I'm not the only one who finds it hard to understand. I'm not afraid of God, I am afraid of man.
Reuters camera crew to go along with the million murdered Iraqis in the way of our oil, and the Washington Post didn't say anything because they weren't Reuters and didn't want to publish Julian whistleblower Chelsea Manning's snuff film she had to give to Julian Assange's WikiLeaks, because the New York Times had just said, you know, on the contrary, they didn't want to publish it either. Then they came to the Washington Post reporter Jamal Khashoggi, and no one was left that mattered because Julie was trapped and gagged in the Ecuadorian embassy in Monza. Come back next Tuesday for on Berkshire Radio 104.1 FM, or first and third Thursday at the Long Hall, 3124 Shattuck, 7:30 p.m. You can pay us to work for them.
Edit Steele dossier paid for by whom?
Hillary.
Clinton's, yeah. Now, who else paid for the dossier? Who read the news today? It was confirmed that the FBI paid for the dossier. Yeah, paid this guy Steele. So, are you getting the picture here a little bit? Okay, so... So that's what we have on the 6th of January. Now, what's really interesting is that this document that everybody crows about, this intelligence community assessment, the only accurate word in those three words is assessment. Was it the intelligence community? No. Was it just three agencies of the intelligence community? No. What was it? It was hand-picked analysts from these three agencies, not the agencies themselves, hand-picked analysts. Who picked them? Who picked them? James Comey, for God's sake. Now, Everyone knows in Washington that if you handpick the analysts, you handpick the conclusions, right? Okay. So there you had this document out that everyone is still crowing about. How can Trump stand next to Putin and not believe U.S. intelligence? You know, this is terrible, you know. Oh, U.S. intelligence is always correct, except for before Iraq, and except for a couple other things, all right? 17th, Obama gets up for his last press conference. And having read this and been briefed on this assessment that Putin himself directed that the DNC be hacked and the results be given to WikiLeaks, what does Obama say? He says, and I quote, "The conclusions of the intelligence community with respect to how Russian hacking got to WikiLeaks are inconclusive," period, end quote. Inconclusive conclusions. Wow. So why does Obama say that 2 days before he's going out of office? Because he's a lawyer. He wants to protect his dear derriere, you know? The fact, number one, NSA collects everything. Now, you know, when Bill Binney, one of these former technical directors, when he told me that, I said, right, Bill, come on now. All emails, come on, everything. He says, Ray, trust me. I couldn't say this before, but once Ed Snowden brought those slides out into Hong Kong, not only could I say it, but I could show exactly how it's done. I could show the trace routes that are implanted in the network where they trace every single email. It's broken down into packets. The packets are reassembled. Those of you technical people realize what that means. We can trace exactly where it originated or where it ended up. And there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing on Russian hacking.
An external assessment of that evidence, which the FBI failed to do in these areas we're discussing. So it's basically a suit to promote transparency regarding 9/11, to inform the Congress, and thereby to inform the rest of us, the American people, on this evidence so we can all make our own judgments, and so the Congress can decide how to follow up on this evidence.
I'm Bonnie Faulkner. Today on Guns and Butter, David Meiswinkel, Mick Harrison, Barbara Honecker, and Richard Gage. Today's show, FBI sued for failure to report 9/11 evidence to Congress. Today, our four guests will discuss their lawsuit filed against the FBI for its failure to fully comply with a 2014 mandate from the U.S. requiring the Federal Bureau of Investigation to present to Congress all evidence it possesses or is aware of relating to the crimes of 9/11 that were not included in the 2004 9/11 Commission report and all.
And the failure of its 2015 External Review Commission, which has become known as the 9/11 Review Commission, not to be confused with the original 9/11 Commission of 2004. So the first count has to do with the failure of the FBI and this new commission to assess the evidence that the Lawyers Committee has presented to the U.S. Attorney, as David mentioned, relating to the use of explosives to destroy three of the World Trade Center buildings on 9/11. This is the demolition evidence that the architects and engineers have spent so many years developing and articulating to the public. And the reason we have a right to sue, Bonnie, on that particular area of evidence in the moment is because Congress in Public Law 113-6 in 2013 issued a mandate to the FBI, and it required a couple of things for the FBI to do. The first, which is not involved in this lawsuit, was to assess how well the FBI has been doing in implementing the recommendations from the original 9/11 Commission in terms of improving the FBI's response to terrorist threats. But the part of the mandate that is relevant to this lawsuit is that the Congress required the FBI to establish this external commission to assess any evidence known to the FBI that was not considered by the original 9/11 commission related to any factors that contributed in any manner to the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. So the demolition evidence that we cite in our first count that the architects and engineers have articulated so well is clearly related to the 9/11 attacks. And it's that use of explosives, unfortunately, that caused such a horrendous loss of life on 9/11, because otherwise those buildings would not have fallen. So we meet the first criteria there. The second thing we would need to show on count one to win it would be that the FBI was aware of this evidence, and perhaps Richard can share some of the information that his organization obtained that we have cited in our complaint, showing the FBI was not only aware of the evidence, they apparently had read at least some of it, assessed some of it, and promised to do a thorough review. And they actually complimented Richard's work in doing a thorough assessment. So in addition to showing that the evidence is 9/11 related and that the FBI was aware of it, we have to show that the original 9/11 commission did not consider that evidence. And I think most folks will know from reading the original 2004 report that the evidence regarding use of explosives was simply not discussed there. And the last thing we would need to prove, of course, would be that the new commission did not do its duty and assess the demolition evidence. And that's clear from the face of the report. So that's count one. And we have to show similarly the same four elements for each of the additional counts. The second count has to do with what we call the high fivers. And some of your listeners may know that there were several individuals arrested on 9/11, initially by local police in New Jersey, then the state police, and then the FBI took custody. And these are the folks who were seen celebrating, strangely enough, the attacks on the World Trade Center, and citizens reported them, and they were tracked down and arrested. They actually were held for quite some time and interrogated by the FBI for weeks, if not months. They were self-identified Israelis, and they were eventually deported to Israel without charges being filed. But there is some very interesting evidence regarding those individuals in FBI reports. We have the FBI reports in question, several hundred pages long. And apart from the fact that they were celebrating the attacks, there were some photographs that were developed from film in their custody. And there was a test for explosive residue, first by a bomb-sniffing dog, which gave a positive reaction to their van and a blanket in the van. And then there was a laboratory test, which we have yet to see the results from. But the FBI, of course, has it. So that's a second category. And before I go to the other categories, let me just emphasize that what this lawsuit is about is forcing the FBI to inform Congress. This is not a lawsuit that is designed to prove any particular theory of events of what happened on 9/11. The goal here is to force the FBI to do what Congress directed, which is to inform Congress of all the new evidence related to 9/11 and get an external assessment of that evidence, which the FBI failed to do in these areas we're discussing. So it's basically a suit to promote transparency regarding 9/11, to inform the Congress, and thereby to inform the rest of us, the American people, on this evidence so we can all make our own judgments, and so the Congress can decide how to follow up on this evidence. So quickly, the third category has to do with the destruction of evidence related to the high fivers, and we did a Freedom of Information request to try to get these photographs that were developed from the confiscated film. The FBI came back and with a response and said, some of the records responsive to your FOIA request or that may be responsive have been destroyed. And it appears that that destruction took place quite coincidentally in January of 2014. And that is the very year and month that this new 9/11 review commission was established under orders from Congress by the FBI to look at evidence like that. that was destroyed. So we were obviously concerned that some of the evidence that should have been reported to Congress and assessed has been destroyed by the FBI before the new commission could look at it. So that's our count three.
I'm speaking with lawyers and researchers David Meiswinkle, Mick Harrison, Barbara Honecker, and Richard Gage. Today's show, FBI sued for failure to report 9/11 evidence to Congress. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter.
Count four has to do with the Saudi and other international funding or support for the hijackers and evidence related to that. A lot of folks probably don't know, and many folks do know, there is a lawsuit for many of the 9/11 family members that's in progress as we speak in New York against the Saudis and Saudi Arabian officials and entities. And the court there recently issued an order, sort of a historic order, the first time that I knew of that discovery has been allowed of any kind in a 9/11 related suit. And what that order said was that the family members, through their lawyers, could do limited discovery on the jurisdictional issue being decided in the moment, which has to do with immunity being claimed by the Saudis. And that means that, as it happens, given the details of that case, that the family members can basically request documents with the force of a subpoena, even if they don't have to use a subpoena, and basically get some of the key documents regarding Saudi connections to the alleged hijackers. Now, the reason I mention this is that in response to that court order, the Department of Justice publicly noted that the FBI has three what they call tranches of documents, T-R-A-N-C-H-E-S, three groups of documents apparently related to the Saudi support for the alleged hijackers. And those groups of documents are under review as we speak for privilege and for possible declassification, so that some or all of them can be produced to the 9/11 family members in this lawsuit. And we've cited evidence in our complaint, I won't go into all the details in the moment, which show that at least one of those sets of documents is going to be dated between the two commissions we're talking about. So after the original commission in 2004 and before the new 9/11 Review Commission of 2014-2015, the FBI was continuing to investigate. And a lot of folks don't understand that the 9/11 investigation has been ongoing by the FBI. And so they've continued to investigate Saudi and other international support for the hijackers. And that evidence should have been assessed by the new commission and reported to Congress, but it was not. So that was our count number four. Our count number five has to do with video evidence regarding the Pentagon. And there was a FOIA request by a citizen not too long ago asking for all the videos within a 1 mile radius of the Pentagon that were taken on 9/11, and the FBI responded that they had located 13 compact discs full of videos that were responsive, and they later came back and said they'd identified apparently an additional 100 videos that were responsive. And I don't believe those have been produced yet, but they're in the process.
Okay. First weekend. Oh, no. First we took Seattle. Remember 1999. Then before we completed the process at the home base of the banksters, they upstaged us with false flag domestic terrorism made in Europe.
We'll be right back. take Berlin. I'm guided by a signal in the heavens. I'm guided by this birthmark on my skin. I'm guided by of our weapons. First, we take Manhattan, then we take Berlin.
I'd really like to live beside you, baby. I love your body and your spirit and your clothes.
Take Berlin.